Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev in Daf Chav Ches. We left off in Daf Chav Zayinim Beis. We're all the way at the end of the page on Daf Chav Zayinim Beis. So we were in the middle of discussing what types of foods you're allowed to spend Meiser Sheni money on in order to buy food in Yerushalayim with Meiser Sheni money. And this came up because we were discussing what types of food can be used for an Eruv. So we ended off yesterday with a country. First of all, today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. So the first topic is going to be whether fish are included in those types of foods that you're allowed to spend Meiser Sheni money on. And then we're going to talk about types of foods that you're allowed to use for an Erev. We're going to talk about a food that inhibits fertility and whether that can be used as an Erev. And then the Gemara is just going to go through one food after another and what the particular issues are with each food. But what we left off with yesterday was that we had a stira between three different prices, really. We had one sheet of the Darshins based on the Psukim that describe what you buy Meiser Sheni money with, that Darshins based on Riboy Miut Riboy. Riboy Miut Riboy is Riba Hakol, and it's only Mema'it, one item. So it's only Mema'it, Mayim or Melach, and everything else is included, which means you're even allowed to buy Dugim with Meiser Sheni money. Then we had two different prices that Darshin Klalu Pratu Klal. Klal Pratu Klal is more limiting. It's not Riba Hakol. We only include that which is Ke'ein HaPrat. But we had two different versions of what is Ke'ein HaPrat in the discussion of what you're allowed to spend Meiser Sheni money on. The first version of what is Ke'ein HaPrat was Ma Prat Mefurash Pri Mi Pri V'Gidule Karka. That the criteria for what you're allowed to spend Meiser Sheni money on is it has to be Pri Mi Pri, that which comes from, that which came before it, like an animal is born from a mother, fruits grow from the ground, which were seeds that were planted in the ground, and Gidule Karka, something that is nourished from the ground. So you're only allowed to spend Meiser Sheni money on that which is pre mi pri vigidule karka. The other brisa that Darshan's klal prado klal, Darshan ma prat mefurush vlad vlado saaretz. So it has to be a vlad from that which is nivra mina aretz, meaning in Meiser Bereishis, it was created from the ground, that behemos and the first peros in the world came out from the aretz, and that's where the vlados of those behemos and peros came from. So only that which is vlad and vlados aretz. So the Gemara had said, my benayu, what's the nafkamina between those two drashos of klal upradu klal, whether you darshan it's pri mi pri vigidula karka, or whether you darshan's vlad. Says Mara Amra Baye, Dagim Ika Benayu. Fish are the nafkamina. The Mandi Amar Pri Mi Pri Vigidule Karka, Hani Dagim Gidule Karka Ninhu. If you hold that it's got to be Pri Mi Pri and Gidule Karka, fish are also Gidule Karka. The Mandi Amar Vlad Vladasaretz, Dagim Mi Maya Ibru. But if you darshan, it's Vlad Vladasaretz, so the fish do not come from the Aretz. Fish are created from the water and not from the aretz, and therefore it would not be included in that which you're allowed to spend Meiser Sheni money on. So that's where we left off yesterday. That's the nafkamina between the two drushos, whether you're allowed to buy fish with Meiser Sheni money. The Rambam paskins l'fichach ein lochin b'ches of Meiser mayim umelach kamein upitrios l'fishein giduleya min aretz. The Rambam paskins that you're not allowed to buy water or salt or kamein upitrios, which is mushrooms and truffles, because they are not gidulo mina aretz. So it sounds like that the reason that you're not allowed to be ma'arif with them is because they're not gidulo mina aretz. The same reason you're not allowed to buy them with Meiser Sheni money. The Achron just raised the question that there is a sugya maseches brachos that kamein upitrios are called gidule karka. If a person takes a neder on all gidule karka, he says kol gidule karka alai, he's asur even bekmein upitrios. So even though they're not yonik mina aretz, they grow from the atmosphere and not from the aretz, like other peros, and the bracha is shahakol, but nevertheless they are gidule karka. So the Achronim explained, the Keren Ora and others, that according to the Rambam, kmein upitrios are not bechlal gidule karka that are darshim from the klal upradu klal, because they're not yonek mina aretz. They don't get their sustenance from the aretz. But as far as meiser is concerned, you need that which is yonek mina aretz, which means it needs to be something that's a bar pri ha'adama. So even though the Rambam uses that term ein gidulei and mina aretz, what he really means is that they're not yonek mina aretz, even though they may be gidulei karka as far as nedarim are concerned, and nedarim certainly as far as lashon bnei adam, as far as the way people refer to such items like mushrooms. So now says the Gemara, Amar Abayi Dagim Gedulei Karka Ninu. Does Abayi really say that Dagim are considered, that fish are considered Gedulei Karka? Amar Abayi Ochel Putisa Loka Arba. But didn't Abayi tell us that if a person eats a putisa, which is a certain type of Sheretz Hamayim, it's a non-kosher fish, you get 4 Malkios for eating it, because you violate 4 separate Los Aseis, 2 general Los Aseis on eating different types of Shratzim, and 2 that are specific to Shratzei Hamayim, that the Torah tells us, and Nimala, if a person eats a Sheretz Haaretz, he's Loka Chamesh, he gets 5 Malkios, because he violated 5 separate Lavin, the 2 general ones for all Shratzim, and then 3 separate Lavin that relate to Shratzei Haaretz. Tzira, if a person eats a type of Sheretz Haof, Loka Sheish, he gets 6 Malkios, 6 Lavin that he violated, the 5 that are mentioned by Sheretz Haaretz, because it's also Sheretz Haof is also included in Sheretz Haaretz, because it also walks on the ground, and an additional los asay of Sheretz Ha'of. But ve'im isa, if Abayi really holds that Dagim are considered gidulei karka, because they eat that which grows from the ground, so putisa nami lilki mishuma sheretz alaretz. When you eat this putisa, this non-kosher fish, you should get this extra malchus for Sheretz Ha'sharetz alaretz, because it's gidulei aretz. So you should get 7 malchios. 5 for eating Sheretz Haaretz, and the other 2 that you get for Sheretz Hamayim. So it must be that fish and Shratzei Hamayim are not considered Gidulei Karka, because only that which is entirely nourished from that which grows from the ground is considered Gidulei Karka. But fish are not entirely nourished by that which grows from the ground, and therefore they're not Gidulei Karka. So since we've proven that fish are not Gidulei Karka, it turns out that according to both Brisos, fish cannot be purchased with Meiser Sheni money. We wanted to tie into the whole nafkamina between the two brises, whether Yadashin Klal Pradu Klal to tell me Gidulei Karka, or whether Yadashin the Klal Pradu Klal to tell me that it's Primi Gidulei Karka, or whether Yadashin it to tell me Vlad Dos Haaretz, that the whole nafkamina was fish. Turns out it's not a nafkamina. According to everybody, you're not allowed to buy fish with Meiser Sheni money, because it not only is it not Vlad Dos Haaretz, it's also not Gidulei Karka. So it's not going to work at all. So what would be the nafkamina, whether you darshan the klal prado klal to be about vlados haaretz, or whether it's about privi gedulei karka? Sa'al amravina ofos ikabidai. The nafkamina is, can you buy ofos with meiser sheni money? Lemandiam privi gedulei karka. If you hold that you're only allowed to buy that which fits the qualifications of being a privi gedulei karka, ani nami gedulei karka ninu. Ofos are also gedulei karka, because they are nourished from that which grows from the ground, and you can use your meiser sheni money to buy them. But if you hold that it's about that which was created from the ground, they were not from the ground, they're from the mud, the water mixed with the adama, they were created, so it's not from the aretz alone, and therefore they would not be able to be purchased with meiser sheni money. So the two brises disagree about the pratim, when the Torah gives details about what you're allowed to buy with meiser sheni money, what that's coming to be marbe. What are you in fact allowed to buy with meiser sheni money? According to one brisa, the gather is anything that's pre vigidule karka, which includes ofos. Second brisa, vlados aretz, which does not include ofos. So what's the nekudas hamachlokas, whether you dash in the pasuk one way or the other way? So man de marbi, the one that says that we include ofos, my time, what's his logic? Man de mamayit ofos, my time, and the one that excludes ofos. Why would you darshan the prat to be more inclusive? Why would you darshan the prat to be a little bit less inclusive when you have a klal uprat uklal. I understand if you have a whole different methodology of drasha, if you hold riboy miut riboy, so that's a whole different methodology of drasha. But once you're down to klal uprat uklal, and that's how you darshan such a set of psukim, and everything has to be ke'ena prat, why would one be more inclusive and one be less inclusive? So in order to understand that, the Gemara is going to answer, it's also important to understand what a klal uprat uklal is. A klal uprat uklal is actually two separate methodologies of drasha that are just combined with each other. The Torah sometimes has a klal uprat, and sometimes it has a prat uklal. So what does each one of those do? What does a klal uprat do? And what does a prat uklal do? Because a klal uprat uklal is a combination of the two. It's a prat followed by a klal, and it's a klal followed by a prat. So it's important to understand what each one does. So when you have klal uprat, ein bichlal ela masha beprat. A klal uprat means it only includes that which the prat says explicitly, and that's it. When you have a prat uklal, that it says the prat and then the klal, so then the nasa klal mosif ala prat. The klal adds to the prat. The klal adds more categories, not only that which is the prat, but anything that's included in the klal is included in that din. So when you have a klal uprat uklal, you have these competing characteristics. The klal is mentioned twice. The prat is in between them. So it's like a murkav. It's of two separate middle shatar and drashas behen that preceded that. On the one hand you have a klal uprat, and on the other hand you have a prat uklal. So that's the issue. Man de marbi ofos kasavar, the one that's marba ofos, meaning which one is the dominant and is then just slightly adjusted by the other one. Do we say klal uprat is the dominant midah, and then it's just slightly adjusted by prat uklal, or is it no, prat uklal is the dominant midah, and then klal uprat slightly adjusted? Man de marbi ofos kasavar klal basra dafka prat uklal nasa klal mosav al prat visabele kalmili. That really the primary midah shatar judgment that we're looking at over here is prat uklal, that you have a prat uklal, and therefore the klal is mosif on the prat, and that's all inclusive. Ay, elamai, it's also klal prat. Ahani klal kama. So the fact that it's also klal prat helps. Lemute kol delo damile mishneit stadim, to exclude that which is not entirely comparable mishneit stadim to the items that are listed, like fish, which are only doma mitzad echad because they're pre, but they are not gidule karka, so they are not included. But ofos, which are doma to the prat mishneit stadim, they're pre, they're gidule karka, so they are included from that klal, even though they're not entirely like the prat, because they're not vlados haaretz, but they're mostly like the prat, not entirely. But uman de mamit ofos, the one that excludes even ofos, kasavar klal kama dafka, says our primary midah shatar and drash ben over here is klal prat. Klal prat in b'chal al mashu prat, and that's very limiting. That only includes that which is mentioned in the prat. Hani in midi archini lo, so only that which is explicitly mentioned in the pasuk. The hani klal basra, and then the last klal comes to tell me that we also incorporate elements of prat uklal. L'rabuye called the dami le mishloshat stadin, but only enough to include that which is similar to the prat on all three criteria, not on just two out of the three. That it has to be a pre-mi-pri, v'gidule karka, and vlados ha'aretz, like a chaya, but ofos, which are not vlados ha'aretz, are therefore not included, if that's the way to darshan it. So it's a fundamental dispute about what to do when you have a klal uprat uklal. Is the primary drasha a klal uprat, and it's just a prat uklal modifies, or is the primary drasha prat uklal, and then klal uprat just happens to modify that drasha? So that's the discussion in terms of whether we include fish and whether we include ofos in the category. Now, when we said that if you eat a bug, you get five malchios, Rashi in Makos and Daf Tezayin and Beis, Rashi says it's talking about if you swallow a bug while it's still alive. So the Rosh Yosef in the back of the Gemara Maseches Chulin says that l'chora, it sounds that according to Rashi, the din of beria, that if you eat, I mean, normally the halacha is you only get malchus vita kezayis of macholos hasuros, but there is a din, the Gemara Makos tells us, that if you eat a beria, if you eat an entire entity, an entire creature, creature, even if it's not a kezayis, you're still going to get malchus. That gives it the chashivos. Sounds from Rashi in Maseches Makos that you're only going to be chayiv for beria if the beria is still alive. That once it's dead, you're not going to be chayiv mishum beria. But the problem is a sugya Maseches Chulin on daf kuf beis and beis where the Gemara says, "Oh, look at that! I have a beria right in front of me, trying to bite me." So the sugya Maseches Chulin on daf it's trying to eat me on daf kuf beis and beis says that if a person eats a non kosher bird when it's dead, he's chayiv even if it's pachas mikazayis because it's a beria, even if it's a very tiny bird because it's a beria. So you see that it's a beferish gemara. You're chayiv mishum beria even when the thing is not alive. So in the Tshuvas Chikrei Lev Yerodea Simin Ayin Aleph, he says when Rashi says that you eat a nemala chaya, a live bug, it's not because if it were dead you wouldn't be chayiv mishum beria. He's just trying to be mechadesh that even though eating it live is not kederech achilasa, you're still going to be chayiv because achila shelo kederech is always excluded from the normally when you're chayiv for achila, it always excludes when it's shalok kederech achila, but by a beria where you're chayiv even bepachas mikazayis, it's not a specific din that pachas mikazayis is chayiv in beria. What that's mechadish to us is a rule that when it comes to achila's beria, even shalok kederech achila works. There are different types of shalok kederech achila. Pachas mikazayis is shalok kederech achila. Eating it while it's alive is shalok kederech achila. But it's being mechadish this broader din that even shalok kederech you're going to be chayiv on a beria. The Aruch Lenerim, the Maseches Makos, points out that according to Rashi, if you eat shratzim that died, you're potter, because the isra of shratzim is only when they're ro'i lishrot b'shas achila. So he understands Rashi very literally. The question then becomes, though, what do you do with that Gemara in Maseches Chulin? Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Ma'arvin b'pa'apuin u'b'chalgal Chalaglogos, a certain type of bitter herb, ubigud gonios, and coriander. Avalo bechazes, but you cannot make an eruv with chazes. Velo bekafnios, nor with kafnios, which are like unripened dates that are not particularly delicious, because those things are not omid achila, they're not really foods. Ubigud gonios, mima arvin, can you really make an eruv with good gedonios? Vatanya, but don't we have a brisa that tells us good gedonios, Rube banim yochelu, that someone who has a lot of kids can eat such a food, but chasuche banim, someone who doesn't have children, lo yochelu, should not eat such things because it has a negative impact on one's fertility. So if a person doesn't have a lot of children, they should not be eating such foods. V'im hukshu lezera, but if we already compare the stalks to the wood, to the plant that it comes from, that the zera already came from it. Even someone who has a lot of children should not be eaten because good ganios are not royal achila. So for chasuche banim. So when we make the hekish, they shouldn't be royal for anybody else either. So how could Rav say that you're allowed to make an eruv with them if half the people are not allowed to eat them? Then it should be something you're not allowed to make an eruv with. So the Gemara gives three possible answers. Answer number one: Tirgama ashalo hukshu lezera umrube banim. That we're talking about those that are not. That their stalks have not hardened, and that's what's coming to be, and that which we say that you're allowed to be ma'ariv with them is we're talking about someone who's meruba banim, and therefore they're ro'i la'achila, and a person can make an eruv, meaning they're edible, and certain people are allowed to eat them. Chasuche banim cannot make an eruv with them, but meruba banim can make an eruv with them. So answer number one: why is it that you're allowed to use this food that is going to negatively impact fertility for an eruv? Because you're not a person who has to worry about that. You're a person who already has plenty of children, and therefore you don't have. You're allowed to make an eruv with it. Answer number two: V'yibayisema li'olam l'chasuche banim. Maybe we really mean that someone who doesn't have children is allowed to use it. Chazul merube banim. And the fact that people who have lots of kids are allowed to eat it is enough to even make it okay for those who don't have children to make an eruv with it. Because the second answer is suggesting you don't need to be allowed to eat your eruv. It just needs to be that somebody's allowed to eat your eruv. After all, milo tnan ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin l'yishol b'tshuva. Didn't the Mishnah say you can make an eruv for a nazir using wine? We saw yesterday, or to, for Yisrael using truma. So apparently we say, even though it's not roi for everybody, but it's roi for somebody, and that's good enough to make an Erev out of it. And then a third answer, that when Rav says that you could be ma'ariv with good gedonios, he's talking about good gedonios that come from Eretz Madai, which are delicious when they're still soft before they harden. Even for chasuchei banim, they're not mima'it the zera. They still have such, they don't have such an impact. But einachinami, if you're taking good gedonios that do have this negative impact on fertility, then you're not allowed to make an error. If he was talking about a particular type of good gedonios that has no negative impact whatsoever on fertility. So what exactly does chasuchei banim mean? What does meruba banim mean over here? So meaning, does chasuchei banim mean, there are two possible ways to understand it. One possibility is someone who has no children, that has zero children. The other way to understand it is, no, someone who has children but has not yet been mekayim the mitzvah of puruvu. The mitzvah of puruvu is at least one boy and one girl, before a person has one boy, one girl, so they're not yet putter from the mitzvah. So the basis of this machlokas is sugya in Meseches Tainis and Daf Yud Aleph, that the Gemara over there says that during Shnas Re'avon, during years of famine, one is not supposed to be Meshamesh Mita. The Gemara says when there's a plague going on, a person is not supposed to have Tashmesh Mita. That was a question in the early days of Corona. People were asking, should we impose these dinim that when there's a plague or a famine going on, a person shouldn't have Tashmesh Mita. I think the Rabbanim decided that it was not a good idea to suggest that with COVID. But when a Shas Melchama, a person is not supposed to be Meshamesh Mita. During times when the world is bizarre, a person is not supposed to indulge themselves in pleasures. But the Gemara says that chasuchei banim are mishamish mita b'shnas ravon. Even during years of famine, those who are chasuchei banim. So over there, you have a machlokas, what that means. So some of the Rishonim say it means someone who's not yet mekayim puruvu, that the mitzvah overrides this din of not having tashra mita. But the Meiri says, no, it means someone who has no children whatsoever. And that's the sheet of the Taz, or Chaim Sim Tavkov Ayin Dalet, that someone who's holy chariri and has no children whatsoever, he's allowed to be mishamish mita b'shnasri ravon. So in the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov and Chel Gimel Simon Lamed, he's medayik from our Gemara, like those shitos and Rishonim, that someone who's not mekayim pruvu is considered chasuchei banim. Why? Because from the lashon of the Gemara, chasuchei banim lo yochelu, it sounds like only chasuchei banim that don't have children at all should not eat good gedonios. But if they have banim, even though you don't have a lot of children, you can eat good gedonios. But then the Gemara says merubei banim yochelu. So it sounds like only if you have lots of kids. But if someone has kids but not meruba banim, he doesn't have lots of kids, apparently he's not supposed to eat it. So he says from the fact that we contrast chasuchei banim with meruba banim, it sounds like chasuchei banim is anyone who's not meruba banim. So it sounds like even if you have some children but you're not yamakai mitzvah puruvu, that would still be in the category of chasuchei banim. Gilyon Yashas of Yosef Englund just points out that whenever we use the term merube, it always means at least three. So it's his ha'ara on the Shvus Yaakov is that the lashon merube doesn't work even according to what he's saying, because for the key mitzvah of puruvu you only need two, a ben and a bas. There went my beria. I got it. It would only be a ben and a bas for the key of mitzvah of puruvu, you'd only need two. Ben and bas according to Beis Hillel, shnei banim according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds you don't need two genders, you just need two sons. Whereas lashon merubah is never less than three. And even if you say that two is also called merubah, but it's not always with two that you're mekayim puruvu. According to Beis Hillel, you need a son and a daughter. It's only a ben and a bas. So it could be that a person could have 100 kids and he's still not mekayim the mitzvah of puruvu in the sense that he's still not pater from the mitzvah of puruvu. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara Vayta now. V'chazes lo, so is that true? V'chazes lo, that you're not able to be ma'arev with chazes? V'am Rav Yudah Merav, but didn't Rav Yudah Merav tell us, kashus v'chazes ma'arvin behen umvarchan leim bar pri adama, that chazes is on the list of things that you are allowed to make an erev with, and you recited birchas bar pri adama on it? Says Gemara lo kasha. Ha mekamed asa Rav Bavel, ha lebasar dasa Rav lebavel. One is before Rav came to Bavel, meaning when we said that you're not allowed to use chazes, that's before Rav came to Bavel. He was living in Eretz Yisrael, and no one eats chazes in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, it's not a food, you can't make an Erev with it. But once Rav came to Bavel and he saw that everyone's eating it, he says, oh, I guess it is a food, so I guess you are allowed to make an Erev with it. Says Gemara, Bavel avi ruba di alma, just because the people in Bavel eat it, that means that's a food for the whole world, and now all of a sudden everyone's allowed to make an Erev with it. Vatanya, don't we have a brisa that tells us, hapol vasa'ora va'atilton, shezra'in liyarek, if you planted aldas to eat the leaves of it, but not the seeds of it. Batla daito etzel kol adam, most people do not plant it for the leaves, so your das is batel to what most people do. Lefichach zaran chayev, viyarkon pater, so its zera is chayev in maisos, but its leaves are pater for maisos, because most people don't eat the leaves of it. Hashechlayim va'gargir, shechlayim and gargir, shezra and liyarek, if you plant it to eat the yarek of it and not its seeds, misashrin yarek vizera. Someone, you take maiser from both the yarek and the zera, but zra, if you decide to eat that part of it, but zra and the zera, if you plant it only for the zera, misashrin zera viyarek, you take maiser from the zera and the yarek if you decide to eat the yarek as well. And the zera is also chayv in maisos, because it's the derech to be zareya, this type of plant, both for zera and for yarek. But you see from the brisa that a pool and a saor and a tiltan that you eat the yarek is pater from maisos, even though you planted it for the sake of the yarek. Why? Yeah, I want to eat the yarek. Why isn't it a food for me? Because nobody else eats it for yarek, and we follow the minhag of Rov Bnei Adam. One person does differently, so it's batel daitzei etzel das kol adam. So the same is true when it comes to the eruv with the chazes, that not only should the rest of the world not follow minhag Bavel, even in Bavel they shouldn't be allowed to make an eruv with it, because we should say batel daitzam etzel das kol adam, that if the rest of the world doesn't think it's a food, then it's not a food. So based on that, the Gemara says, you know what? When Rav came to Bavel, we're going to change the psak. We're going to change our answer. We had a stira in Rav. Can you use it for an eruv? Can you not? We said, oh, it must be that there's a difference between when he came to Bavel, when he didn't come to Bavel, before he came to Bavel, after he came to Bavel. So now says Gemara, now that wouldn't answer the question, because even after you come to Bavel and you see that they do some crazy, they have some crazy eating habits in Bavel, it doesn't have any impact. So kikam. Rav, when Rav says that you're allowed to make an erev with chazes, Rav was talking bidagnu niyasa. He was talking about a type of chazes that grows in a garden that they eat everywhere. It's not only in Bavel. Meaning there are two different types of this food. There's the type that's only eaten in Bavel, and that we say you can't make an erev with because batel daitzam etzel das kol adam. But then there's the type that's eaten everywhere, and the type that's eaten everywhere that you are allowed to make an erev with. The Rishonim raised the question, Tosos and the Rashba and others raised the question that there's a Gemara in Shabbos Kufmem Daladam Beis, that when there's a particular minhag in a particular makom, the halach is based on the minhag hamakom. If you're mekayim kotzim bekerem, so kidesh hakerem, the kerem becomes kilei hakerem, because in Aravia they're megadel kotzim legmalayim, they grow thorns to feed their camels. So even though in the rest of the world they're not megadel kotzim, so nevertheless, if that's what they do in a space, in a particular location, that becomes normal, and that's koveya the halacha. So by an erev, why don't we say the same thing? If there's a place that eats chazes, like Bavel, we shouldn't say batel daita metzel das kol adam. We should say that's koveya. It's normal in Bavel. Mele, it's a food, and it's normal. So Tulsa suggests that it's only when the minhag hamakom is not a minhag meshuna, like to be megadel kotzim bekerem. If everyone had camels, they would also be megadel kotzim bekerem. It just happens to be that it's only in Arabia that they happen to have camels. So in North Woodmere, we don't have camels, so we don't grow kotzim. But if we did, we would grow kotzim. So that's why it's considered to be a normal thing. But something that's mashuna, to eat something that most of the world would say fed, it's inedible, it's something that they would never eat. So that's where we say batel daitam etzel das kol adam. It depends whether it's a minhag mashuna or a minhag she'eino mashuna. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now on Amud Beis, Zera Gar. gargir l'may chazi. What's the zera of gargir ra'ui for? It's not something that's ra'i la'achila on its own. Some Rabbi Yochanan shekin rishon v'shelo ha'il and pilpulin shochkin el so umadvilin bo satzli. That the early generations, that when they didn't have pilpulin, peppercorns, they would grind up the gargir and they would put roasted meat into it, and that's why it's chayiv and meiser. Okay, so now the Gemara brings what Rav said before, that kashrus chazes the Yiseir bar pri adama on. So the Gemara discusses that and brings a story related to that. Rabbi Zeru kev chalish migirse, when Rabbi Zeru would get weak from all of his learning, meaning he would put so much kochos into his learning, at a certain point he would get weak and he was unable to learn anymore, but he didn't want to stop doing mitzvos just because he was feeling shvach. So what he would do is havazul yasav piskad Rav Yehuda bar Ami. He would go and sit by the doorway of Rav Yehuda bar Ami, Amar, and he would say to himself, kinafki vayil rabbanan, when the rabbanan go in and out to learn from Rav Yehuda bar Ami, meaning Rav Yehuda bar Ami was the address that Talmidei Chachamim used to go to be able to talk and learning. So if you wanted to go where Talmidei Chachamim were going to come, you'd go to Rav Yehuda bar Ami. It's like what people were saying about Rav Zalman Lechem Goldberg's Zichrono Levracha, that he was little known, you know, he wasn't, but those who knew, like the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in the country would come to talk to him. Whenever people were saying that you'd call like the biggest poskim in America, and if they couldn't answer the Shaila, they would say, this is Rav Zalman Lechem Yeshaila, it's got to go to so the big Talmidei Chachamim knew, they knew that's where you go. So he figured, all the Rabbanim are going to be coming in and out, say, so then I'll be able to stand for the Talmidei Chachamim, and I'll get schar for the mitzvah of standing for Talmidei Chachamim. And a child came. So Amalei, Rabbi Zera said to the Tinok, Maya Gamrich Rabcha, what did you learn from your Rabbi? So Amalei, he said, Koshus Bar Pri Adama. He said, I learned, we're learning the halachos of what bracha to say on different foods. And I learned that on Koshus you say Bar Pri Adama, and Chazes is Shakol Niebed Varo. So Amalei, so Rabbi Zera said to the kid, Adraba, Ipucha Mistavra, Hai Meara Kamarbi, Vai Meavira Kamarbi. He says, why does that make any sense? Chazes comes from the ground. It grows from the ground, so it should be a Bar Pri Adama. Kashus comes from the atmosphere, from the air. It doesn't have root in the ground. So it should not be Bar Pri Adama. It should be Shahakol. V'hilchsu kinuka de Rav. The halacha is like that child, that Kashus is Bar Pri Adama and Chaz is Shahakol. So my taima, why? It's a good taima that he had on the child. So hai gomar piri. The Kashus is a pre that is fully ripened, and it's therefore called the pre, so it's a Bar Pri Adama. V'hai lav gomar piri. But Chaz is not a gomar pri. They plant the grain litzorech the garinim that are not fully ripened, fully grown, and not litzorech the achila of the chazes itself, and therefore the bracha is shakal. And that which Rabbi Zera said that it's mistaver the other way. So lohi, that's not it's not correct that kashus grows from the air. Kashus nami me'arik rabbi. Kashus also grows from the ground. Because you see that if you cut the thorn that it's growing on, he was under that impression because it grows on top of these thorns and thistles. So he figures, it can't be that it's Yonig Min Haaretz, because it doesn't have any roots in the ground. It must be that it's like a mushroom that's just being Yonig from the Avir. But the truth is, if you detach the thorn from the ground, then it's no longer able to grow. So you see that ultimately, its Yonika is really Min Haaretz. The Achronim are a little bit bothered in this Gemara, that he wasn't sure what to do because he couldn't learn anymore. So he said, I'll go sit by where the Talmidei Chacham walk by, and I'll stand up k'day that I'll be akabel bu igra, so that I'll receive schar. So the Achronim rather are bothered that there's a Mishnah at the very beginning of Pirkei Avos. You're not supposed to do mitzvos al menas lekabel pras. And he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to receive schar. So the Pesach Einayim in Maseches Brachos says, based on Rashi, that Rabbi Zeir would stand in front of the Talmidim. L'chora, he's an Adam Gadol, he's not chayv to stand in front of the Talmidim. So he says, he wasn't mechuyev to do, but a mitzvah that a person's not, and therefore a mitzvah that a person is not mechuyev to do, you're allowed to do al menas lekabel schar. The rule of not to be like an Eved, that's Meshamish Yisrav al menas lekabel pras, Eved Meshamish Mishamishas Rav implies that something that you're mechuyev to do, like an Eved has a chiyev to be Mishamishas Rav. But if it's something that you're volunteering anyway, so you have such a chiddush that you're allowed to do so, al menas le kabel pras. In the Pnei Shlomo, Maseches Brachos, he explains based on the din in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, that even though you're not allowed to take schar in order to be an aid, but you're allowed to take schar in order to go to witness an event that you will then be an aid on. So Hu Adini says when it comes to doing a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do a mitzvah al menas le kabel schar, but going to the place in order to be bali day mitzvah, that you're allowed to do al menas le kabel schar, you're allowed to do al menas le kabel pras. So different suggestions that the Achronim have. Okay, now we had mentioned, Rav, that you're not supposed to make an Eruv. Well, you're not supposed to make an Eruv with kafnios, which are unripened dates that are, right? So says Gemara, but kafnios ain't ma'arvin. Is that true? You're not allowed to make an Eruv with kafnios? Va'tanya, but then we have a Brisa that tells us that kor, nikach, bekesav meiser, the branches of a dekel, when it's still soft, you can use meiser sheni money on, it's considered a food, but vein matami tumas ochlin, but it's not totally considered a food because it's not makabal tuma, like tumas ochlin, even if you had a machshava to eat it, because it's not considered an ochel. The kafnios nikachos bekesav meiser. You're allowed to use kesav meiser sheni to buy kafnios. Umetami tumas ochlin, and it has a din of tumas ochlin. Rabbi Amar kara reu ke'etz. Rabbi says kara has a din of eitz. Lekol devarav. It's not a food. It's an eitz for all halachos. Ella shenikach bekesav meiser. Except you're allowed to buy meiser sheni money with it, which is exactly what the Tanakhama said. The Gemara is going to deal with that. The kafnios harein kapri lechol devarav, and kafnios is considered like a fruit, so it's metami tumas ochlin, and you can buy it with meiser sheni money. Ella shepturus mina meiser, but you don't have to be mafresh meiser from it. So the Tanakhama didn't make such a chiluk. Apparently, considers kafnios a pri for everything, and you even have to be mafresh meiser from it. But apparently, according to everyone, kafnios are considered to be a food in that they're metame tumas ochlin, and it's only the only machlokas is about maestros. So why does Rav say that you're not ma'ariv with them? If it's a food on some level, why can't you make an erev with them? So hasam, the Brisa says the kafnios have tumas ochlin is bidinishani, is kafnios of male palm trees, which apparently are more never fully ripened more to the point that they become full dates, and therefore this is the gemar pri. So they're considered an ochel even at this earlier unripened stage, because this is as far as they're going to get. Whereas when Rav said his din of kafnios, he was talking about female palm trees, that if you would just wait a little longer, it would ripen properly. So when they're still in the state of kafnios, then it's not yet a food, and they're not mekabel tumas ochlin, and you cannot make an eruv with them. Ihachi, if that's the case, so we're talking about male palm trees, b'hal lema Rabbi Yehuda paturus min ha-meiser, is that what Rabbi Yehuda says, that you patur from meiser? V'atanya amra Rabbi Yehuda lo huskru page beisione ela le'inyan meiser b'lvad, that unripened figs from Besione are not considered a fruit for anything other than Meiser. Pagin Besione ve'hini de Tuvina, these kafnios from a place called Tuvina, where all of the palm trees are male palm trees, chayavin b'meiser, they're chayavin meiser because that's considered the Gemara Pri. So you see from Rabbi Yehuda that kafnios from male palm trees are chayavin meiser. So how can you say that the Brisa that we mentioned before of kafnios was talking about male palm trees, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, pot from Meiser, you see they're chayiv in Meiser. Eliolam lav binischani. The Brisa is not talking about from male palm trees. We're talking about kafnios that come from female palm trees that are not fully ripened and are going to grow a little bit more. And because it's not a Gemara Pri, that's why they're pot from Meisers. Ulina tumas ochlin shiny. But you cannot derive the halach of tumas ochlin, the halach of Meisers from the halach of tumas ochlin. By tumas ochlin, even though they're too bitter to eat, they're still considered an ochel as far as being mekabel tuma. Why is that so? Kedam Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan once commented in a different context that sometimes you have peros that are called an ochel even though currently they're inedible. Hol v'roi lematkan al yedei or. If you can cook them up and then they'll become a little sweeter and more delicious, so that will give them the status of an ochel. So Achanami, by kafnios as well, they're considered an ochel as far as tumas ochlin is concerned. Hol the yachal matkan al yedei ar, since you can make them edible by cooking them a little bit. So, but nevertheless, Rav says you're not allowed to make an eruv with them, because for an eruv you need something that's muchan achila. It needs to be something that right now you're able to eat. So it wouldn't be good for an eruv. Ve'echid mit Rabbi Yochanan, was the original context of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Ahad Tanya, he said it with regard to the chiv of meiser on almonds. Shkedim amarim, if you have bitter almonds, katanim, if they're small, they're not fully grown, chayav, and they're chayav in meisros, because that is their gemara pri. But gedolim, if they're larger, so then peturin, they're patur for meisros, because they're bitter, they're not considered an ochel. Metukim, if you have sweet ones, a type of shkedim that are not bitter, so gedolim chayav, and if they're large, they have a gemara gidulo, they're chayav in meisros, katanim peturin, but if they're smaller, they're patur from meisros, because you don't have a gemara pri. So b'shim Rabbi Yossi, omer mishum aviv, b'shim Rabbi Yossi says in the name of his father, that if you have the bitter almonds, zevze leptur, even whether they're small or whether they're large, they're pater from maestros. Small ones are pater because it's not a gemar pri. Large ones are pater because they're very bitter and they're not considered an ochel. So another girsa within Rabbi Shimon is va'amrila. Some say that Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi said in the name of his father that the shkedim amarim zevze lechiyuv, that whether they're small or whether they're large, they're chayiv in maestros. The small ones, because that's the way they're eaten before they're bitter, and the large ones because are chayiv for the reason we're about to explain. That we in halacha in Tzipori they pass in halacha that they're both going to be pata like the first lashon of Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi, that the shkedim amarim are pata from maestros whether they're gadol or whether they're katan. According to the lashon that they're both chayiv l'may chazi, what are they rowing for? You can't eat them; they're too bitter to eat. So why are they chayiv in maestros? That was the original context where Amar Rabbi Yochanan hol v'roy l'matkan al yedei ar. Since you can sweeten them by cooking them up a little bit, that's why they're going to be considered a food, and they're going to be chayiv in maestros. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Mar tomorrow.